So good to see every one of you in this service today worshiping together. What an incredible presence and spirit of the Lord that I sense and feel in this house today. And it's so good just to look across this room and see each and every one of you and your smiling faces. And you make this season what it is. As I get to spend some time with you and worship with you, I sense and feel his presence every time. And he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. That's what Christmas is all about. It's reminding us that he came to where we were. In a few months, we're going to celebrate what he did for us, ultimately paying the ultimate cost and price at Calvary to redeem us and to set us free and to heal us. But today, we acknowledge, in this season, we acknowledge the fact that he even did it to begin with. He even came and became one of us, a perfect Lamb of God, fully God, fully man, and became our sacrifice. And I'm so very thankful for who he is in our lives and thankful for you today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, very familiar verse of scripture, especially during this time of the year. I tell you what, before I read our text today, I want to take a moment. I thought I might do this at the end of the service, but I want to do it now, if that's okay. Many of you in this room are very familiar with what's going on with our dear brother, Jeffrey Armstrong. Jeffrey's been in service with us the last two Sundays. And very, very tragic event happened on Friday evening. Fluid building up on his heart and lungs. And as of right now, he is at Willis-Knighton in Shreveport, essentially in a comatose state, not induced by medically, but just on his own. He is not responding right now and is on a ventilator. And Robin, of course, as you know, is right there with him. And the last thing I said to Robin this morning is that her church family was going to join together and lift them up to the Lord. So if you're sitting next to your spouse or a family member today, you may not feel comfortable if you're sitting beside somebody you don't know. That's okay. But if you're sitting next to one of your family members, would you just take their hand today? And I want us to take a moment and I want us to pray in faith together as a church family. Father, I thank you today, God, that you are our great physician. God, our trust is in you. Jeffrey and Robin Armstrong's trust and faith and hope is in you and you alone. They have demonstrated it through every part of their lives, every part of their journey. God, they have shown their great and deep love and trust and faith in you. And God, we know that even right now, it's your presence and it's your peace and it's your power, God, that is surrounding Jeffrey and Robin in the place that they are right now. We know that you are able, you're exceedingly abundantly able to do more than we could ever ask or even imagine. We know that you are able, God, to raise him up as you've done so many times before. You've proven yourself so faithful in their lives. But God, today we just surrender them to you. And we say, God, you have your way. We have faith to believe that you can heal his body, and we know that you're able and that you can. And we petition selfishly from our place, God, to your throne, God, to do just that. But Lord, at the end of the day, we will say that we trust you and we will praise you through it all. So be with Robin now, God. Undergird her, strengthen her. May she feel your embrace and your touch like never before. As a church family, God, we join together in faith and we lift up our brother and our sister to you today, Lord. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I know that you will be sending your love and prayers to them, especially over these coming moments and days as they are navigating through what's going on in Shreveport right now. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. God with us. If there's one thing that the world needs to be reminded of today, if there is one thing, let's just bring it right down to home. If there's one thing that the church needs to know today is that he is God with us. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I'll be the first to tell you, there's a lot of questions in my mind about the things that are happening in our world globally. There's things that I question about what's going on in our individual lives and things that happen in life that frankly, I'm from my natural mind, I don't understand it and I have more questions. I will tell you this, even from my spiritual mind and my limited perspective, but my spiritual mind, I question it. We laid to rest in the last 2 months two individuals who both, I believe, had such incredible calling and purpose on their life, had so much zeal and passion to fulfill the call of God on their life, and they were taken from us, from this natural life. And I question that. I question, why is it that one like that, who has so much potential to do so much good for the kingdom of God? I have questions, but let me tell you what I don't have. I don't have doubt. I have questions, but I don't have doubt. It's okay to question some things sometimes. It's okay to not understand some things. It's okay to wonder about some things sometimes. It's okay to ask the question why. It's okay, but we question, but we question without doubt. And here's what we have to know, that through it all, through every season of life, through every loss and every gain, through every triumph and every trial, through every victory and every place we find ourselves victimized in life, we have to remember that through it all, God is with us. And with Him with us, there is nothing that can stand against us, no matter what happens in life. He says, he will be called Emmanuel. It means God with us. He's with us today. He is with you. You may feel like you're all along, but it's time for us to adjust our feelings to the facts. It's time for us to know and say with great assurance and go ahead and plant our feet and concrete ourselves in the fact that He is with us. He will never leave us. He will never abandon us. He will go with us through every step of our lives, even in those seasons that are so dark, even in those seasons that we don't understand. How many of you know I'm not even a third of the way through my first page of notes? For those of us who are followers of Christ, it's so easy to believe that God is with us when things are good, isn't it? It's real easy to believe it when we're on the mountaintop. It's easy to believe when things are going great and all the bills are paid and everybody's healthy and everybody's doing their thing. It's easy to believe. It's easy to do it during those times. When we get good news, it's easy. It's easy to believe that God is with us. When we get that raise at work, it's easy to believe that God is with us. When we get that front row parking spot at Walmart, it's easy to believe that God is with us. Praise God, He gave me the good spot at Walmart. The truth is, that was probably the devil, because God wanted me to park at the end of the parking lot so I can get that exercise and get that belly down like I'm supposed to. But that God wasn't nowhere in that. God's so good, He gave me the front parking spot. It's easy to sense the presence of God when things are good and when we're on the mountain, but it's sometimes more difficult to sense His presence when we're in the valley. When things are not going the way that we wanted them to go or that we expected that they would go, when we get bad news, when we're hurting, maybe when we feel a little bit alone in life, when we're worried and when we're afraid, when we're battling depression in our lives, we begin to question in those times. It's the valley of life. For the next few minutes, I want to talk about God in the valley. I want to talk about the presence of God in the valley. I want to pose the question to all of us today. Where is God in these valley seasons of life? When we look at Scripture, it's interesting that valleys represent several things. It was in the valley where battles always took place. For some of us right now, we may feel like we are in the middle of a battle in the valley. Valleys represented seasons of desperation. Valleys represented seasons of loneliness. But it's interesting that valleys were also the place of growth. Valleys were the place where you grew. We may experience God. We may enjoy God, if you will, on the mountains and mountaintops, but we come to know Him, and we come to know Him intimately in the valley. We may enjoy Him when things are going good. We may enjoy the natural and tangible blessings of God when it's all good, but we really come to know Him in a true, in a different, in a very intimate way when we're in the valley. I hope I'm talking to some people today who know what I'm talking about. You've experienced, you've been there. We've enjoyed those times of blessing. We've enjoyed the times where money cometh. We've enjoyed the times where we can look back and think about those euphoric moments in our lives. But we've also been in the valley before, and we found His presence to be so tangible and so real in the valley. We enjoyed Him on the mountaintop, but we know Him in the valley. There's a passage in Psalms that I want to I want us to look at today. It's Psalm 84, beginning in verse 5. This is what the psalmist said. He says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion." The valley of Baca was most likely related to a tree. The Baca tree, it was the type of tree that would literally ooze out sap. People often would refer to the Baca tree as the weeper. It was the weeping tree. It looked as if the tree was crying because of the sap that would ooze out of the tree. And that's why the Valley of Baca is translated in different ways in Scripture. It's sometimes called the Valley of Tears. It's called the Valley of Weeping. It's been sometimes referred to as the Valley of Loss. Anytime we see a valley in the Bible, we see a place where there was a lot of danger. There would be all kinds of dangers in the valley. There would be wild animals in the valley. There would be people waiting to jump out and maybe to rob you in the valley. In fact, it was very difficult to get through a valley without something bad happening. And this is why the psalmist said it in verse 5. He said, Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. Blessed are those whose strength is found in you, O God. There are times in our lives, I'm sure, when you just feel like and you want to say, I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I just don't have anything left in the tank. The truth is that for those who don't know God intimately, what they have is all they have. What they have is all they have. Without an intimate relationship with God, what we have in our possession is all that we have. But for those who have chosen to follow Christ, for those who have chosen to put their trust in Him, we believe that we have a strength that goes beyond just what we have. We believe that we have access to a heavenly strength. And that's why the psalmist said, blessed are you. Blessed are those whose strength is found in you, O God. We believe that when we get to the end of our strength, that there is this heavenly strength. There's this divine strength. There's this strength from our God that is available to those of us who have chosen to put our trust in Him, to those who know Him. When we reach the end of our strength, it is His strength that is made perfect in our weakness. His strength, Scripture tells us, is made absolutely perfect. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. If we find ourselves in the middle of a valley, we have access to a very real, ever-present power of a good God who is available and ready to come and assist us in our time of need. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. The text does not say, blessed are those who make it on their own. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up by the bootstraps. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are really determined. No, it doesn't say that. One of the biggest problems in our world today is we have almost idolized the spirit of independence, haven't we? I can do it on my own. I don't need anybody. I want to be financially independent. I want to be completely good on my own. I don't want to have to trust anybody. I don't want people to have to be there for me. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. We were not created to be independent. That's not God. That's not how He made us. We were created by our God to depend on Him. And even to depend on one another. We were created that way. We were made for our community. We need each other. No man is an island to himself. If I have that attitude or that mindset, I can do it on my own. I don't need anybody. What that's really coming from is not strength. That's actually coming from weakness. That's coming from something broken in my life. And I've been broken before by someone. I'm not going to let anyone else break me again. So I'm good on my own. When I see that attitude, when I see that mindset, I don't see a strong person. I see a very weak person. I see a person who's not learned how to trust, who's not understood or found the value of the dependency on God. Because I know that someday they will be in the valley. And when they're in the valley, they have to know, I can't be strong in the valley. I have to lean on His strength. It's in the valley that I don't lean on my strength anymore. I don't lean on the dependency that I have on myself anymore. I must depend on Him and Him alone. The psalmist was essentially saying, blessed are you when you realize that you are dependent. Blessed are you when you recognize that you need a power that is greater than yourself. Blessed are you in those moments. For some of us, we just need to admit it. For some of us, we just need to say it out loud, maybe to ourselves in the mirror, but we need to admit it and say it out loud. I don't have what it takes. Look, I'm very confident in the person that I am. I'm very confident in the giftings that God has placed in my life. I know where my weaknesses are and my strengths are, but sometimes I just have to admit it. I don't have what it takes. There are moments in my life when I find myself prostrate on the floor, and I'm in that place where I say, God, I see the things and I know the things that you want to do. I know what you're able to do, but within myself, I cannot see that ever happen. And it's in those moments that we experience His presence. I don't have what it takes. I need His presence. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. I'd like to look at verse 5 in a different translation, because I love the way the New Living Translation highlights this verse. It says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What this is saying is, we may be in a valley right now, but we are going to the city of refuge. That's what Jerusalem was referred to, the place of peace. We're going to the place of peace, the city of refuge. Yes, we are in a valley right now. And yes, it's dark right now, but our strength is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And our mind is set on moving forward and moving to the city of refuge, the place of peace. One commentary says it this way: to get to the city of refuge, you had to go through the valley of tears. To get to the city of refuge, we had to go through the valley of tears. Sometimes for us to get where we really appreciate the presence and the power of God, we have to push through a little bit of pain in the natural life. For many of us, the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. We push through the valley. We're on a pilgrimage. This is the way the psalmist said it. He said, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds toward God. What we think about really does matter. I'm telling you, life and death, the scripture says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. But let me tell you something, before it ever hits the tongue, it goes to the mind first. The tongue is just simply the conduit, the portal for which it flows out of us. But it first begins here. The battlefield is first in the mind. And what we think about matters. You've heard me say this over and over again, and you know it and you believe it. We can control what we think. We can't control everything that happens in our lives. We can't control a lot of these things that are outside. But we can control. I choose to think about the things of God. I choose to put my mind on the things of God. I choose to look to Him. Paul talked about it a lot in the New Testament. To the Colossians, he said, set your mind on the things above, not on things below. Put your mind on those things. Yes, you may still be living in this earthen vessel. Yes, you may still be going through this valley right now, but don't let your mind stay there. Don't put your sight on those things. You look to the hills from which your help comes. He told the Philippians this. He said, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, you meditate, you think on these things. In other words, he's saying, it's as if he's telling us we have a choice. It's a command, it's a demand, it's an admonishment to us. He's saying, you need to train yourself. You need to begin to think on the right things. I know it's easy to get distracted. I know it's easy to focus on the negative and the bad things that's happening in our life. Some things that happened that we didn't ask for, victimized in some way. I know it's easy to let our brains and our minds and our sights go on those things, but we have a choice. Paul was saying, if it's anything good, if there's any virtue anywhere, go. It may not be right here in your house right now, but you go find it somewhere and you put your mind on those things. You meditate on those things. Where we are is one thing. What we think about is something else. What we think about and what we think on matters. Praise God. Amen. That's good preaching. For some of us, our current situation may be in the valley, but our mind can be on God. My situation, my physical being, the circumstances of life, I may be in a dark valley right now, but my mind doesn't have to be here. You can put my body here. You can put my life here. You can put my family here, but my mind's not going to be here. I think about the little boy whose mama made him go stand in the corner, and he said, I may be standing in the corner on the inside, but I'm running around on the outside. On the inside. I may be standing out here in the corner on the inside, on the outside, but I'm running around on the inside. I'm going to get it right sooner or later. That's what we need to say today. We need to say, I may be in a valley on the outside right now, but the valley ain't in me. My heart might be racing out of my chest right now, but my mind can be set upon the Lord. My soul may be aching, but my mind is set. Our emotions may be all over the place like a roller coaster, but our mind can be fixed upon the Lord. There may be much to do. There may be pressure within the family right now. There may be wondering as to how we're going to get through Christmas. There may be real tragedies and real loss in the valley, but my mind is set on the goodness of God because he is with me and he is for me. We can never lose sight of that. No matter what I'm looking at, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what questions I have to know that he is ever present. He is with me and he is for me. Greater is the one who is in me than the one who is in the world. My God is going before me to prepare a way for me. His Spirit gives me strength when I am weak. I need him every moment of every day. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I cannot make it, it is his power that is made very real in my life. I may be in the valley, but my mind is set on the kingdom of God. I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm going to the place of peace. Everybody together say, I'm on a journey. I'm not there. It's not, we're so destination-minded. When I go on a trip, when I go on a vacation, so many times I miss the beautiful landscape. I miss all of the little things that happen on the way because I'm so focused on just getting to the place, the destination. All the while, God's saying, I've opened up this mighty world all around you. Stop. Pause just a minute. Stand still and see that I am God. Look at what all I want you to experience on the journey. We're on the journey, and the part of your journey right now may be in the valley, but let God do what only God can do in the valley. You may be in the valley, but your mind can be fixed on him. Verse 6 says this, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make a spring. I love this. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring as they pass through. I love to reference these scriptures so very much, especially when we come to the place of memorializing someone, a child of God who has gone on before us, and we acknowledge that what we see and know in the natural as death is not death in the eyes of the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that it's precious in the sight of the Lord when we experience the death of his saints here on earth. We're just passing through. We may be in the valley right now, but the valley is not our destination. We have to know that. You may have family members. Nobody in this house feels this way or thinks this way, but you may have family members and friends in your life who pitched a tent, poured concrete, set up a slab, and built a house in the valley, and they've just chosen, you know what? This is where I'm going to live. And they've lived there for 40 years or 50 years or 60 years, and you've begged and pleaded and borrowed and done everything you could to try to get them out of the valley, but they've just chosen, this is the hand I've been dealt. This is the life. And their focus is not on the Lord. The focus is on the valley. But we're just passing through. I may be in the valley right now, but this is not my home. I'm journeying to a place of peace. I'm just passing through. My God will get me through this. I'm only passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Any old timers in the house today? Thank you very much. I love how David said it, that familiar verse in Psalm 23 and 4 when he said, yea, though I walk through through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear nothing. I will not fear the evil that comes upon me. And you know why? Because I've learned that you are Emmanuel. You are God with me. I may be in the valley, but I'm just passing through. I may be in a difficult season right now, but God's going to get me through. I may be hurting right now, but I'm not going to be hurting forever. My God is going to pull me through. He is faithful. We may be in a dark place right now, but we're just passing through the valley of Baca. Sometimes when we're in the middle of it, a lot of times we just want out. Can we just all be honest? Sometimes we just want the relief. Sometimes we just want to see a brighter day. Sometimes we just want to get out of the valley. God, get me out. Make it go away. Make it stop, God. I don't want this anymore. Just take it away. I just want out. What we have to realize is so often God may show us that the way is through the valley, not out of the valley. We're so focused on getting out of the valley. We're so focused on the escape. We're so focused on one of these days we're going to be out of the valley. And all the while God is doing something. The way is through the valley. And we're questioning the valley and we're doubting life in the middle of the valley. And God is saying, the way you're going to get to peace, the way you're going to get to the city of refuge, the only way you can get there is going through the valley of weeping. I'm just passing through. I love the next phrase there in Psalms. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The King James Version says it this way. It says, they dig a well. They make it a well there. In other words, whenever we're in a dry place, what do? We dig a well. But there's no chance of rain. It's not even in the forecast of rain. It doesn't matter. We make a well. We dig a hole to contain, a container, if you will, for the provision of rain that God will send. God hasn't sent it yet. It's dry right now. But when we're in that dry place, when we are hurting, we make room for the presence of God. If you're in the valley right now, it's time to just build a room. It's time to dig a well. It's time to begin to make a capacity for the presence and the power and the provision of God. We make room for the provision of God. We dig a well in the dry place, in the valley of Baca. We have to say to ourselves, and many times we have said to ourselves, there's no chance of rain. There's no rain. There's no precipitation in the forecast. It hasn't rained yet, and it's not going to rain. But I know my God will provide what I need. I didn't even plan on it today, but I love the story of digging ditches in Kings. I love the story where the instruction came to take out your shovels and begin to dig ditches. And guess what? It's not even going to rain. God began to pour rain somewhere else, and he brought it. And because they had dug a ditch, because they had dug a well, because they made capacity, they were able to contain the blessing and the provision of God, and they found victory that day. Hasn't rained yet, but I know my God will provide what I need, so I'm going to make a container. Preparing for the presence and the provision of God, we dig a well. It's almost as if God would say something like this. If you'll allow me today, it's almost as if he would say, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. You show me your belief in me, and I promise you I'll come through every time. If you dig it, I will fill it. If you prepare for me, I will show up. You show me your faith, and I'll show you my faithfulness. Jesus apparently had this same kind of philosophy in the New Testament. There's a guy with a withered hand. And instead of Jesus just simply saying, I'm just going to heal you, Jesus says, no, you take out your hand. You stretch out your hand, and I will heal you. You show me that you believe that I can do it, and I will do it. A man who couldn't walk for 38 years, Jesus didn't just say, be healed. He said, you take up your mat and you walk. You get up. You show me you believe that I can make you walk. If you show me your faith, I will show you my faithfulness. I don't know who this may be speaking to today, but I believe that maybe there's somebody in this room today that needs to dig a well. It's time to maybe find an old-fashioned altar somewhere and take out a shovel and begin to dig a container, dig a place, and say, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm not looking to the things of life. I'm not looking at the valley. I'm focused. My mind is focused on you, and I'm going to build a well. I'm going to dig a well. If we dig it, he will fill it. If we plant it, he will grow it. We have to plant the seed before we can ever have a harvest. Any farmers in the room today? If we pray it, God hears our prayers. I've often heard people speak a lot of unanswered prayers. And yes, there may be prayers that we've prayed that we didn't hear the answer that we were looking for or hoping for or expecting. But I promise you, when we pray, when we look to him, when our mind is set on him and on his strength in our lives, he hears every single prayer. He answers. He just may not always answer the way that we think he ought to in the natural. But if you pray it, God hears our prayers. If we dig it, if we prepare, our God will reveal himself. When we're in a dry place, we dig a well. We prepare for the presence and the provision of God. If you show me your faith, I'll show you your faithfulness. I love the if promises of God in Scripture. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. I love the picture that my dad drew out for us this morning as an 11-year-old child or a 10-year-old child. I love the way the wording that he used, the specific wording. He said, I just began to take one step. And he came and he met me. It's not that God's demanding something from us. It's not this give and take kind of thing. It's not a negotiation that he's working out. He just wants to know that we've made room for him. And once he knows that the door is open and room has been made and the well has been dug, and he says, and we're just open, then he comes and he does the rest. The problem is God don't do very good with busy people. Because we've let our busyness become our God. We've just made room for all of our busyness. But the second he said, as it was in my heart, my mind was set on him. As a 10-year-old boy, I just took the step. I just began to take the step, and he was there. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you seek me, he says, you will find me. What am I looking for? What am I seeking? What is my sight on today? If I just look to him, I will find him. You seek me. If you seek me, you will find me. If you make room for me, I will reveal myself to you. Maybe you're here today and you haven't sensed the presence of God in a long time. It's time to dig a well. It's time to make room. It's time to say, God, I'm going to stop and I'm going to wait in your presence. I'm going to prepare for your provision and for your presence, because if you dig it, he will fill it. Some of us today are in desperate need of an encounter with God. Can I just tell you right now that that's why we do what we do? This isn't some religious protocol that we're trying to go through and a box that we're trying to check for the week. If that's all we were doing, we can do that some way up, somewhere else. The reason we even put it out there and say, hey, everybody that wants to, let's gather in the room at 10:30 on Sunday morning. And here's what we're going to do when we get there. Yes, there's been some preparation and there's been some planning and there's been some practicing going on from our worship team. But here's what we're going to do. Once that 10:30 mark hits and we move into what we call a celebration service, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to begin to worship. We're just going to begin to exalt the name of the Lord. That's all. That's the only agenda. Oh, yeah, the preacher, whoever the preacher is that day, he's looked to God's word and prayed and sought the Lord as what word he would want to share from his word. Maybe we're going to get to that. Maybe we're not. Maybe it's just going to be an altar service that takes over. Who knows? It almost happened last week. We had an altar time, and I looked at my watch afterward. I still got time to preach, so I decided to preach. But there's no real set agenda. It's just we want everyone that's hungering for it and needs it in their life to have an encounter with God. Not an encounter with a preacher, not an encounter with a worship team, not an encounter with a building or a service, but a true encounter with God. And all we've done is we come in here and we just plow the field a little bit and we just put some seeds out and saying, God, if you'll bring the hungry heart and the desperate needed one in here today, we believe that through our meager efforts, God, that somehow you're going to touch every heart and life and someone's going to have an encounter with you. And when they walk out, they're never going to be the same again. And they won't walk out and say, oh, wow, I love that song and I love those singers and man, that preacher can preach. They won't be saying any of that. They won't probably even remember what the sermon was. That they will remember that they had an encounter with God and it changed everything in their life. And it was eternal. Some of us today, we are in desperate need of an encounter with God. But I'll say it again, God rarely reveals himself to people who are rushed. He rarely reveals himself to people who are in a rush. God, do it and do it now. And do it this way. The Bible tells us, be still and know that I am God. I believe maybe God is saying to us today, why don't you just dig a well? Why don't you just stop? Quit trying to escape the valley. You may be in the valley right now. You may be filled with questions right now. That's okay. But quit trying to run. Quit trying to rush your way through this thing. Let me do what only I can do. Why don't you just stop? Be still and just dig a well. Build a place. Make room for me. Won't you dig a well and then wait on me to fill it? Because if you dig it, I will fill it. If you seek me, you will find me. If you draw near to me, if you take that one step toward me, I will draw near to you. If you just give me a hint that you want me in your life, if you just give me a little inch, if you will, I'll take over. I'll do something amazing in your life. I will overwhelm you. Be still and know that I am God. For some of us, it's just time to prepare and say, God, I wanna meet with you, and I'm gonna wait for you. And I choose to believe that you're going to reveal yourself to me. Can I just tell you, I would rather be in a storm. I would rather be in the greatest storm of life right now with the overwhelming, comforting presence of God in my life than to be on the mountaintop with all of the tangible, natural, material blessings of life and self-reliant and independent any day of the week. Put me in the storm any day of the week if that's the place where I experience and know him in an intimate way. I'm just going to be honest. The human nature, the flesh side of me, when I got it all together, when everything's going good, yeah, I may give lip service and say, thank you, Jesus, you've been so good to my family. And I mean it. But I want to tell you something. I know him when I'm in a storm. I know him when I'm in a valley. He reveals himself to me in ways that I would have never known him any other way or any other place than in those seasons of loss, pain, questions, darkness, loneliness. God, I need you, and I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to dig a well. Prepare for his presence. And if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Here's what I hope we'll understand today. God never promised that we wouldn't go through a valley. He never promised that. But he did promise that we would never go through a valley alone. He did promise that we would never go through a valley alone. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. The virgin shall be with child. She will bear a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I'm closing. In Psalms 84, the psalmist phrases it this way. As we journey through the valley of Baca, we're going to the place of peace. Then he says, I believe it's verse 7, where he says, they go from strength to strength. Strength to strength. Blessed are those whose strength is found in you, O God, for they go from a little bit of strength to a little bit more strength. When their minds are set on you, and when their strength is found in you and you alone, they go from a little bit of strength to a little bit more strength to even more of God's strength, to even more of his strength, until they appear before God in Zion. They will go from strength to strength. Not our strength, but his strength. There's two things that we need to have in the valley. And if we have these two things in the valley, we will see him, we will experience him, we will know him intimately. We need trust and we need praise. We need trust in the valley, unwavering trust. Trust that doesn't depend on whether it all pans out the way I think it ought to. It's easy to trust when that happens. But real trust is when it don't happen the way I wanted it to. Real trust is when I've prayed the prayer of faith to bring life back into that body and they die anyway. And I say at the end of the day, I trust you. That's trust. when I was praying for the marriage to work out, and they walked out and filed divorce anyway at the end of the day. But God, I prayed this. I thought you were going to do it. I believed this, and you didn't do it, but I trust you anyway. I trust that your ways are beyond my ways, that your thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. Trust. Trusting God with every situation, with every person in our lives, and praise. Praising him when the healing has not come. Praising him when in yourself and within your flesh there's nothing to praise about, but praising anyway. Lifting those hands when I don't feel like lifting my hands. Offering up adoration and praise to God and worship to the Lord, the King of all kings. Even when I don't feel it in the natural, I do it anyway. That's what will get us through the valley, is trust and praise. We trust him in the valley, and we praise him in the valley. We don't complain. We don't bellyache. We don't whine in the valley. We praise in the valley. Question? Okay, that's fine. I question. But after my questions, I trust. I questioned a lot of things my parents did growing up. I knew it all at 10. Especially knew it all at 16. I was questioning everything. But I look back now, and I'm thankful that after my questions, I didn't rebel. I didn't go do my own thing. I didn't go try to figure it out myself. I trusted. Blind trust in these two human beings right here. I think they did a pretty dang good job, don't y'all? I'm kidding. Did I just say dang in the pulpit? I'm glad y'all love me. Trust and praise in the valley. Because we may enjoy him on the mountaintops, but we come to know him in the valleys. He reveals his character to us. We can sense his strength in a way that we otherwise cannot. When we totally and completely need him, and we have nothing else, and we know that we're just traveling through the valley, and we fix our minds on the fact that he is a good God, and we're going to the place of peace. Right now, I feel weak within myself. Right now, I'm in the middle of my weakness, but it's in my weakness that he's made strong. God is our strength. When we're in darkness, our God is the light in the darkness. When we're in a season of trouble, he is our joy in the trouble. When we're in the middle of pain, he is our comfort in the middle of our pain. He and he alone, that's who our God is. We pass through the valley. Even though we're in the valley, we do not fear because he is with us. The same God that is good on the mountaintops is the same God who is always good in the valley too. We come to know him in the valley. And if you're in the valley right now, please remember that you're just passing through. It's temporary. It's all temporary. I want to tell you something else too. I'll just give you the other negative side of it. If you're on the mountaintop right now, it's temporary too. You're just passing through that too. There's going to be a valley. And just remember, when you're in the valley, you're just passing through. You won't be there forever. Our God will lead you out. He is good and he is with you. He is present and he will take you from strength to strength. When we can't handle it anymore, we lean into him and let his strength be everything and all that we need. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will have no fear. There will be no worry anymore because you, O God, you are with me. You are Emmanuel, God with us. Stand with me today across this room. Maybe you're here today and you just needed to be reminded of just that. God's with me. Kevin, you have no idea what I'm facing. You have no idea what I'm going through, what my family's dealing with right now. This is beyond anything we've ever experienced. Can I just tell you and remind you? He's with you, and he's all we need. I don't need the answer. I want the answer. I don't need the desired outcome. I want the desired outcome. All I need is Emmanuel. All I need is him with me. And it's a promise. You can take it to the bank. He is with you today. Don't doubt it. And if you need to today, just pause for a minute. If you need to, while we worship this morning, you can come to the front of this building and have a little altar time if you want to. Or you can have a little altar time right where you stand or sit or kneel, whatever you want to do today. And why don't we just pull out our shovels and begin to dig a well and say, God, I'm going to be still. I'm going to stop and I'm going to wait on you. And I'm going to make room for your provision. I'm going to make room for your power. I'm going to make room for your presence in my life, because I know that is what changes everything. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your ever presence in our lives. You're always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And I thankful God, every one of your promises, they are yes. They are amen. And God, today I ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for the times and the seasons of life where we get so distracted, where we get so busy, or that we're so focused on the natural, and we're so focused on the valley, or even the mountaintop at times. We're so focused on the things of life that we lose sight of where our true strength comes from. Today, God, help us to put our thoughts and our eyes and our words and our praise and our trust back where it belongs. And it's on you. We look to you, God, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We trust you today, God. We praise you. We worship you. I pray today, God, that you will have your way in every heart and life. If there be that area that needs convicting today, God, that the preacher doesn't do it, but you do it, God. Let your Holy Spirit just begin to convict our hearts. If it's time for us to put the brakes on and stop and dig a well and make room for your presence, God, convict our hearts to where that's all we want to do is just stop and experience and know you. Have your way in every heart and life. And God, we will give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.